Hello everybody and welcome back inside the Shark Tank for another week talking all things South Shark Rugby. My name is Lewis and I'm joined this week by my co-host Alex, and we are going to be talking through a second consecutive defeat for Sale, who fell 33 points to 22 away at Saracens on Sunday. Alex, how you going, mate?
The bubble is well and truly burst, mate, hasn't it? You know, it's all good things must come to an end. You just wish they didn't come to an end home to Harlequins and away at Sarries, two of the most frustrating places to lose. Harlequins for reasons we've outlined in previous pods, and Sarries because we just cannot win at that stadium. It's unbelievable. It's just like, it's almost resignation before you've even got there now as a fan. I'm not saying the squad are, but as a fan, it's just like, well, we are. I mean, we're never going to win there, are we? So yeah, it's a bit frustrated, a bit upset, but you know, I think we all expected this. Sarries are a really, really good team. They've been playing so well, and you know, had we beaten Quins, we'd probably have felt quite good about going there. But after that Quins loss, I think it very much reset our expectations. And let's be honest, away at the best team in the league to lose isn't great, but it's not unexpected and it's not the end of the world. It's, you know, maybe we, to be honest, we look back on it and we could have easily won it, and that's the frustration. But you take the result in sort of on its own bucket, then that's fine. It's the frustration of watching it and going, yeah, we could have won this, and had we played better, we would have won it. And I think that's, you know, that's just the real question there is, is when will we get to that mentality of being good enough in the games where we aren't playing well enough to win? And that's the next step for this team, isn't it? You know, when we play well, we now win. We don't leave things up to chance much anymore. When we play badly, we have to learn how to still win. And that's the mark of a great team. And will we ever be a great team? That remains to be seen. But I think Quins and Sarries very much showed that when we don't play well, we don't win against good teams. So that's the next step to go, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's kind of start there, which is the frustrating thing. Obviously, you never want to lose two games on the bounce, but the frustrating thing with this one is that scoreline, an 11-point winning margin for Saracens, definitely flattered them, didn't it? The game was actually very close. And it's probably reflective of kind of, you know, where those two teams are, you know, first and second in the league, both teams missing a number of English internationals. And it was only until the final try of the game, the Nick Tompkins one on about the 77th minute, where Saracens really sort of comprehensively pulled away from Sale. But before then, you know, it was 26-22 to Sarries. The game had sort of ebbed and flowed. Sarries had the upper hand. But actually a four-point margin, and we'll maybe talk about that try in a little bit. But that kind of four-point margin, I think, is probably more reflective of the game itself than what the final margin was, which was 11 points, nothing for Sale on the board. They score three tries, but don't even get a losing bonus point. But I think, you know, the fact that Saracens actually won this so handedly in the end, despite having a pretty good run of it from Sale, is a testament to just how good this Saracens team is. And I don't know, Alex, I mean, I guess from your perspective, you know, this is a Saracens team with, you know, Manu Vunipola at 10, but you've still got Elliot Daly, Alex Azalski and Nick Tompkins in the centres, Alex Lewington and Alex Good in the back three. Do you think it's fair to say that even when Saracens don't have those English internationals in their squad, the way that they are built with, and the players that they have, is ultimately the difference between where Saracens are at the top of the table and Sale in second? Because Alex Lewington, Alex Azowski, Elliot Daly, these are all such brilliant footballers and just brilliant, like, on-field players in terms of their intelligence. It kind of feels like, you know, when you sort of get into the nitty-gritty of why Sale lost this game, it's the fact that Saracens just have such smart players, particularly in their back line, that they can call on even when they're missing their English internationals. And Sale, you know, no disrespect to sort of Sam Hill or Aaron Reid or Byron McGuigan, we're not quite there yet. And I don't know if you agree with that as the being the kind of one of the key factors in why Saracens pulled out an 11-point win rather than a 4-point win.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's that depth. And you look at, I know Saracens have had the relegation and they might have lost a couple of players as a result. But as a general rule, they've been building this for a long, long time. And where they've got to is an incredibly strong place. And, you know, historically, they did that with some salary cap manipulation. And we presume now that, you know, they're doing it within that. But regardless of either way, what they built is an academy that's churning out talent that is now in its mid-20s and really established Premiership players. What we've got is an academy that's churning out talent that is in its early 20s and becoming Premiership players. You know, you look at Aaron Reid, Joe Carpenter in the backs. We've got Gus Warr and Rafi as our nines. Obviously, Rafi wasn't involved this weekend, presumably because of England. Hopefully not injury. So, you know, we are there or thereabouts with where they were. It's just that they are a lot of years ahead of us. And when they're at home and they've got those resources to call upon, I think it's absolutely right that, you know, if you've got Alex Lewington and Nick Tompkins as playing in a team that is ultimately a sort of nowhere near full strength, then you're doing pretty bloody well, because there's international quality all throughout that side, regardless of whether the internationals are there or not.
Well, I'm very pleased to announce the Charlton listeners. We've been joined by a not-so-special guest. James has joined us. After we thought he was going to have to miss the pod again due to some personal stuff, he's here. So, James, I mean, what a great place for you to kind of jump in. We were just talking about how, you know, Saracens pick up the win on Sunday. It's an 11-point win, but both teams are kind of under strength. And we were talking about how the fact that Saracens can win so handedly against a team in such good form like Sale is a testament to the quality of and the depth in their squad, highlighted by the fact that Alex Goode, you know, was man of the match, and Nick Tompkins and Alex Zazowski is an international pairing centre combination. So I'm very, very interested to get your thoughts on kind of, you know, what was the driving factor behind Saracens picking up that win on Sunday?
Well, I think Sale played their part in Saracens winning, to be perfectly honest. I think we got out to a really, really good start, and I think we could have managed the game from there. But Saracens, as we've talked about them before, they're just this machine, aren't they? It doesn't matter who they slot into whatever position. You know, they just seem to work. Now, it would have been better to play them next week when the likes of Nick Tompkins is going to be playing for Wales. So that, you know, I think it was a bit overblown. You know, Stephen Jones in the Times saying this was the Saracens second team's absolute codswallop. You know, we were missing almost as many players. So, you know, we've got five players in the England squad. That is a lot of players to be missing. And we made something like nine changes or something for this game. Now, we did need to mix it up a little bit, having lost at home against Quins. And I listened to the pod guys, and I thought you got it just about right. But, you know, Saracens are a phenomenally coached side. They are a brilliant team, especially at home. They understand those conditions. That's why the likes of Alex Goode is so good. There's not many that can play play the field and read what's in front of them like he does. He's a kind of a one-off, I honestly think. And if he'd maybe had 1 yard extra of pace, he would have been an outstanding international player. And even then, I think he was very unlucky to find himself behind Mike Brown for the majority of his career.
I mean, quick shout-out to Alex Goode, who became Saracen's most capped player on Sunday. And again, a testament to that versatility and flexibility. Not many players who can play, you know, 10, 13, 15 in, you know, any league in the world. And he was really the star of the show. And it was that backline that it felt made the real difference on Sunday. The footballing brain, the intelligence of players like Tompkins and Goode and Lazowski did have a big impact on the game. And it was very interesting, actually, that we sort of moved away from our, so far this season, usual structure, our usual sort of stylistic, our usual style in terms of how we want to play. And actually on Sunday, what we saw was almost a reversion to the Sale of old, very abrasive up front, very much keen to play in and amongst the tight five. You know, we saw it actually in terms of how Sale scored two of their three tries. It comes from the rolling ball, and the set piece is certainly something I think you can take a little bit of solace from if you're a Sale fan. That functioned relatively well, particularly on the 5 meter line. And even for the Joe Carpenter try, you see it again, Sale just, you know, bashing the door down on the try line, and eventually we've sucked in enough defenders to get the ball out to the back three. But I did find it very interesting that, and Alex, I'm quite keen to get your thoughts on this. Do you think it's a testament to maybe some of that psychology you were talking about earlier, about this kind of mental brick wall we've got about going down to Saracens, in that we kind of actually moved away a little bit from how we have been playing for most of the season when we were at the Stone X on Sunday?
Yeah, it almost feels a bit like a bit of a cop-out when I say that, in terms of, oh, well, you know, the reason we weren't playing well is because we just don't have this mentality where we can win games when we're playing poorly. But I think mentality is such a big thing against Sarries that it's, especially a team like that, where theirs is so strong and their leadership is so strong on the field, that it's sort of, when you eliminate all the impossible things, it's the only thing remaining. You know, it's one of those where we just seem to have a hoodoo at that stadium. We can, you know, there's been times where we should have won there, and this weekend is another case of that. We should have won and we could have won, and if we played like we have all season, then we would have won. So I don't know. It feels like it might be an easy thing to say, to just, you know, go, well, it must be the mentality and that's the missing piece, rather than, you know. But you look at everything else, you know, the playing squad is there, the form was there, and obviously has gone away. But, you know, we lost one game at home to Quins. We're not on a terrible streak. It's not like the confidence has evaporated from the squad. Yes, we were missing players like Tom Curry, Johnny Hill. I think we've really missed Acker the last couple of weeks since his injury. But other than that, you know, you're still looking at the bones of the team that started the season, really. You know, effectively, all you've done is take out Johnny Hill. And that's the almost the worry, but it just keeps leading me to that conclusion that there's something in our heads that is this winning away at Sarries and winning massive, massive games is just a bit beyond us at the moment. And maybe that's the case, or maybe it's just, you know, we didn't have a great performance and that's the end of it. But it feels like, as a Sale fan, we've never quite made that leap to, here's a really, really important game, and we've gone out and won it. And that's the leap that, as I was saying before, I think we need to make.
Yeah, if you have a look at, like, recent title-winning sides, Quins being one of them, they came to AJ Bell, made a statement, you know, then they managed to rob London Irish at the weekend, and suddenly they're now contenders for the title again. You know, they're sort of able to make that big statement and turn their season around. You know, as soon as the focus has come on us, we've been completely under radar the whole season. Quins was the first game, really, where the radar was on us, as, you know, they are title contenders, etc. We're on BT Sport. We didn't get hammered, but the scoreboard says we did. And then again, we've gone down to Saracens. And, you know, an opportunity to really say to Saracens, okay, well, your love of winning, we're taking that on now. Your love of winning, that's what we are. I'm not sure we are, when we're not quite in that bracket mentality of winning. Also, most of my final point before, Lewis, I know you want to come in, is I just thought that every single opportunity for momentum shifts in the game went against us. And sometimes that does happen. And maybe we've had a run of luck for the first few games where all the bounce of the balls have gone our way and all the injuries have happened on the opposition side, or a yellow card or whatever. And I think the injuries that we were sustaining in this game, they just happened at points which just... that just, it was already a bit of momentum going against us and just sucked a bit of the extra oxygen out of us. And that's a really tough thing to happen away from home, and especially at Saracens.
And well, I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because one of the things I wanted to kind of highlight when you go through the stats, and the reason why we've kind of framed this conversation around it, is the intelligence of the players in the Saracens' backs, you know, versus the kind of physicality of the Sale forwards, and those were the two things working for each team, is that actually, you know, you kind of look at possession numbers 50-50. Okay, so nothing there. Territory, Sale had 61% of territory in the game. So we were playing the game in the right areas. But then you look at start to look at the team attacking stats, and Saracens made 8 clean breaks to Sale's 4. So they doubled up. Sarries beat 25 defenders. Sale beat 11. Offload, Saracens made 12. Sale made 4. And just kind of every sort of metric you look at and every way that you sort of go down the list, what you find is that this is a reflection, those statistics are a reflection of a team that is playing within itself a little bit, is trying to keep the ball in the middle of the park, is trying to keep it in nice and tight rather than spreading it out. You see that with the amount of clean breaks we make or the turnovers, defenders beaten. We know we're not putting the ball into space. And actually, this was a classic Saracens performance where they soaked up a lot of pressure, you know, from our side. You know, they were happy to defend the ball in the 22 or in, at least in their own half. And actually what you saw, to go back to that kind of rugby intelligence, is when Saracens scored some of their tries, it was 4 or 5 offloads in a space of 30 seconds. It was Alex Lewington cleverly going down the short side and running the ball back, or being fed the ball by Tompkins, who's gone to the short side. It was just clever kicks in behind. And what we saw, you know, classic Saracens, is that when we had possession of the ball, you know, we were quite laborious. We spent a lot of time with it, and we made some good inroads. Like, let's face it, we really pushed Saracens close. But when Saracens had the ball, they were just so much more incisive. And a big part of that came down to individual skill on the day, which again goes back to the earlier point about when we are missing five English international players, do we have that kind of skill and incisiveness versus Saracens, who when they're missing 6 or 7 players with England, they've still got your Alex Lazarskis, your Alex Goods, etc., who can win games for you at this level. So, look, it's quite a frustrating performance, because ultimately I think Sale probably did enough to win. I think Saracens were good value for the win. And as we've already said, that 11-point margin does feel a little bit unfair. But, James, you know, from your perspective, what are the positives to take out of this from Sale? Because we've had 2 losses on the bounce now. That really strong start to the season has got us in a good place, but you know, Gloucester kind of catching us up, Quinn's getting back into the top 4 race. Gloucester obviously still have 2 games in hand on us. There is a feeling that maybe momentum is starting to kind of move away from us. But what were the positives on Sunday that we can focus on?
I mean, we continue to be able to bring physical edge. I mean, you know, there's no doubt about it that we kind of, you know, that first 15 minutes, we were really blitzing Saracens completely off the park. And, you know, we could have scored more points. So that's good that we're able to get ourselves up for these games. I think the other positive is around the possession and the territory. You know, you'd think that those kind of stats, the majority of the time, it's the same against Quinns, although against Quinns we had even more line breaks, didn't we, as well. I think every single stat against Quinns was pretty much in our favour, and then we got battered on the scoreboard, and it was quite a phenomenal, no one seemed to dig down into that as much as they should have done, I think, in the media. So I think, you know, sort of law of averages, you'd expect that to kind of fall our way. What I want to see, honestly, is this sort of confidence about how we're using the ball and running at space rather than at defenders. And I think that that's what we got sucked back into, a bit of comfort zone there. We were obviously so up for the physical fight against Saracens, we forgot that we're playing a rugby game. Saracens never forget that we're playing a rugby game, ever, ever. They can turn it on, they can score good tries, they've got great attacking players. So I'd like to see this leadership on the park again. I think Ben Curry getting a knock was a bad thing, because he's impressed me from his leadership point of view. So I think that Ben Curry's leadership versus John O'Ross has definitely made a good difference to this side. So I'll take that as another positive. I can't think of all that much more, because all I'm thinking about now is we've lost 2 on a trot. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly momentum can shift in rugby, and it makes the next game massive. We're not segueing into that just yet, but, you know, it's difficult to see beyond the next game, isn't it?
Absolutely. Especially when, again, the rub of the green didn't necessarily go away. You know, we saw that with the Tom O'Flaherty try, or disallowed try, in the first minute, where there's just a hand from Simon McIntyre that knocks the ball on in the build-up. Like you said, that really did set the tone for the game. And it's just those kind of moments that in the first few games were going our way, they've not really gone it this way. And it does add a little bit more pressure to that Gloucester game this weekend. I do want to touch very briefly, actually, as well, on the topic of kind of unfortunate moments, which is the Joe Carpenter misplay on the grubber kick through for the final Saracens try, which kind of took us out of the losing bonus point range. You know, I think to all our listeners, it's very clear that we are all very much big Joe Carpenter fans and very excited to see where he is. So very excited to see kind of, you know, where he is now and where he's going to be in the next couple of years. But I thought that was probably a really good kind of welcome to the league moment. The little grubber goes through. He does a really good job of actually coming across to cover it. And then he just misplays it. You know, he goes to slide in, the ball bounces over his hands, and it's an easy walking for Nick Tompkins. It's just little moments like that, you know, and obviously that's right. At the end of the game, the O'Flaherty is the first minute. It is quite frustrating because, again, maybe just a little bit of, you know, composure, you know, in either instance would obviously have made a massive difference in the final scoreline.
Same with the Tommy Taylor crawl on the floor as well. There was just a few of these moments, weren't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, right. That's exactly it, where you just kind of go down the list and think, if that was just slightly different, this could have been a very different result. But, you know, another try for Carpenter. You know, I think I take that as a real positive. There's never any harm in seeing your young players, you know, get comfortable with scoring tries, even if they are just akin to walk-ins. And you know, there are positives to take from this, but it is going to be a difficult one to come back from, given kind of where we were at the start of the game versus kind of where we finished up. Before we kind of talk a little bit about that Gloucester game, then, Alex, I just want to give you the final chance to kind of, you know, leave your thoughts on this one. And kind of what does it mean, you know, from your perspective, where you kind of look at Saracens came into this game as, you know, the form team in the league. They were top of the league, and we were there, you know, in second. We'd won 5 out of 6. Yes, we'd lost to Quins, but this was kind of a chance to kind of recapture some of that momentum and kind of really establish ourselves as being legitimate challengers to Saracens, basically. What do you think it means for the context of the season, or indeed the league at the moment, where we've not been able to kind of get over that final hurdle against the team that is at the moment the best one in the league?
Yeah, well, we talked, I think last week and the week before, in sort of preview of this game, that it could have been a 1A, 1B situation, you know, say, oh, this is Saracens both unbeaten going into it. The Quins game turned it into a first versus second conversation. I think this game has now turned it into a Saris versus the rest conversation. And it just, it pivots our challenge away from can we get at the top of the league with Saris to can we beat the other competitors for top four and finish second and get home semi-final. At the moment, it may, in time, we realise it's pivoted the conversation to can we get in the top four. But I just think it shows that gulf, and it really emphasises that difference between where we are and where we want to be, and Saris are where we want to be, and that's great for the ambition of the club. I think it's a bit of a reality hit for us that, you know, this is where we thought we might be by now, and I think, you know, we've had that time to build, and obviously there's been some disruption along the way, and you know, you say, okay, if Alex Anderson's still not had that long in this job, he's still learning, he's doing a really good job. You know, he went 5 games unbeaten at the start of the season. So there's a lot of factors that play into it. But I think the key concern is, can we get there? And that is the real unknown that we sort of maybe hoped that this weekend might prove that, oh yeah, actually, if we do beat Saris away, we can get there. And you know, we're not expecting that we're going to, you know, storm the league and that's it. But it just shows that this squad has that capability. And I still think it does, but it just didn't show it this weekend. And that's my main worry when you come into the bigger conversations around rugby and you know, the livelihood of the game and the players in our club, that we need to be successful to attract fans, to make ourselves sustainable, but also to keep our owners invested in this club. Because if we continue to lose, then they're going to get pretty tired of it pretty quickly, and if you don't see that progress. So I think it was a massive chance for us to kind of put that marker down. And it's one that's gone away, and it's not the end of the road, and it's not the end of the world. But I still think it comes back to, at some point, we need to beat Sarri's away. It just has to happen. Not only because we've never bloody won at that stadium, which is frustrating enough when you're turning up there, but because it's a marker of where we're going as a side. And until we do that, I think it's a worry for us. Does it come back to, is it a worry for the league as well? Because are Sarri's just going to storm it again? I don't think they are, because I think you've got challenges this season. But, you know, we needed Leicester last season to have a miracle one-off season that they're clearly not repeating, for Sarri's not to just come back and win the league straight away. Yeah, there's questions around Sale, there's questions around the future of the club, and there's questions around the future of the league and how uncompetitive it is at the moment with Sarri's in it, because, you know, they don't seem to be capable of losing. So they're all the concerns, but, you know, we'll just have to wait until next season, and hopefully we're in an even more solid place, and we're built and built again, and we'll be able to finally end that hoodoo. But yeah, it's another year of waiting, isn't it?
And just to kind of wrap it up, how different does this game look with a George Ford at 10 rather than Rob Dupree? You know, we kind of hinted at it a couple of weeks ago. We spoke about it with the Quins game. Again, it's just about that kind of on-field leadership and that kind of adaptability to things that are or aren't going your way. And you do just think, you know, if we did have, say, George Ford, who's no shoe-in to represent England again, at 10, does this game work out a little bit differently? I guess that's the one one consolation we could take from this, which is, actually, if you roll these two teams out again, but we pick our first-choice fly half instead of our second choice, that game maybe does look a little bit different and kind of speaks to that kind of building element that you just mentioned there. That's probably it for the Saracens conversation, unless you boys have anything else you want to mention? Nope, all good. So the games are coming, well, for the time being, you know, thick and fast, and then we actually don't have another game for 3 weeks after this coming weekend's game, which is another potential top four tilt, with Sale hosting Gloucester, who are currently sitting in fourth in the Premiership table, with 20 points off only five games, and are really starting to make a big statement for themselves at the moment, coming to the AJ Bell. James, you know, obviously it's been a couple of weeks since we've done a pod together, so it's always nice to be able to do this and say, you know, what can we expect from Gloucester?
Well, Gloucester are on fire this year. I mean, they really are. Okay, they've played two games, one against Worcester, one against Wasps, so we'll have to see how that sort of plays out in the wash, but they look really, really impressive the way they beat Exeter Chiefs. Exeter Chiefs brought a huge element of physicality at the weekend, and the way Gloucester just absorbed that, you know, with players like, you know, Fraser Balmain and Harry Elrington. Yeah, these are players who have been squad players at Leicester and London Irish, and then suddenly they're thrust into this Gloucester side and they're playing out of their skin in the absence of the likes of Papava, Ruskin, etc. And, you know, if you are doing a like-for-like comparison on from a coaching perspective, you know, Sanderson's peers are the likes of George Skivington. They are the likes of Steve Borthwick, you know. And, you know, I think Sanderson will be putting himself under a lot of pressure to want to have the kind of impact at Sale, which is very significantly different from the Diamond impact. Because clearly Skivington went into Gloucester when it was in absolutely in dregs and absolutely nowhere. And the same with Borthwick with Leicester, the way they've built that club back up to be competitive at the top end of the table. You know, I think for Sanderson will be putting himself under a huge amount of pressure to be able to show, this is what I've brought to Sale. This is different from the past. And this is the outcome, the improvement in outcome that we can see on the field and in the table. And I think that this is a really big grudge match. We are missing some players, but I would say the impact on Gloucester's squad is greater. So for example, you know, if Jack Singleton is coming off the bench for England at the weekend, then he's not available. Santiago Cecino, you know, I'm not sure if he's in the Argentina squad. If he is, he's not available either. Then that leaves them pretty short with Henry Walker as their kind of sole senior hooker. And then you go into it like Papava Ruskin. Is he going to get, you know, in the England squad? I'd be surprised. So he'll probably be released to play for for Gloucester. They do have a huge amount of depth in the back row. The likes of Lewis Ludlow, really good captain for them, really good line-out option. Ben Morgan's probably in his last season and going well. Jake Pelledri is back from injury. Don't think we'll see him for Italy for some time. He's got a lot to prove in terms of fitness. But the likes of Jordy Reed, we know, have just, you know, been really hard nut and really good signing. And Albert Tuasui as well, another big ball-carrying threat. But in the centre, they could be really, really short. Billy Twelltrees hasn't played much this year, but you'd imagine will be playing because Kovaladze, I think, is in the Georgia squad and he's been playing at 12 for Gloucester. So I think he'll be put off with Georgia. Chris Harris was different gravy. His defence against Exeter Chiefs. Exeter Chiefs couldn't just work out how to get past him in the 13 channel. I've never seen an outside centre just from a defensive perspective. We know how important it is defending in 13 and how difficult it is. And we saw Sam James for the first time this season really struggle defensively in the 13 channel. It was one of the big reasons we struggled at the weekend. Chris Harris, everyone should be just studying how he defends because he basically single-handedly just stopped Exeter's attacking game completely. He won't be available. Presumably he's with Scotland. Atkinson, I think, is out for the season with a bad leg injury. Hastings will be off with Scotland, you would have thought, unless they keep going with Blair Kinghorn at 10, supporting, as cover for 10, supporting Finn Russell. But Adam Hastings has been absolutely incredible for Gloucester. One of the best signings. And the fact that he's kind of dropped out of the Scottish 23, and sometimes even the Scottish squad, has been really good timing for Gloucester because it's meant they've had him available a lot. And he's just a really classy player for me. Kicks his goals really, really well. The Shed have really taken to him, which I think has really helped. So presuming he's away with Scotland, then that means that Lloyd Evans comes in at 10. He played the weekend at 15. So who's going to play at 15? Because Johnny May's back with England, or his elbow won't be quite recovered. Then you've got Rhys Sammet will be away with Wales. Ollie Thornley can't play 15. Carreras will be away playing at 10 for Argentina, probably. So I think Kyle Moyle, I don't know if he's injured. We've not seen him much this season. So I think the Gloucester squad looks really stretched for this weekend, especially if they're not getting players released from their international sides to come back and play club rugby. So at home, I really think that Sale have got to put the squeeze on here and make a big statement and beat them, but beat them comfortably. You know, I think if we were playing the Gloucester first team this last weekend at Gloucester, we would have been second favourites, because they've just got a great momentum playing really good rugby. They've got the physicality, but they've got a really good attack in play. But I think at home, with what I've just taken everybody through there, with the loss of players to international rugby, I think we should be winning pretty comfortably.
It does feel like if there was ever a time to play this Gloucester team, it's this weekend. You know, we saw the impact of not having your internationals to an extent. Last weekend, you know, losing your English internationals. But actually, you go down that Gloucester line up, and as you've rightly pointed out, James, you know, looking at the team that beat Exeter, you've got Welsh internationals, Scottish internationals, Georgian internationals, another Argentinian internationals. You just go down the list, and actually, like to your point, you know, if you play them a week earlier, it's a completely different team. And I agree that actually Sale are now in a position where we're facing them at home, and despite all the extremely positive momentum Gloucester have built up, you look at the team that they're likely to put out at the weekend, and we should be beating them comfortably, because our team isn't going to change going from the beginning of the autumn international window into the Reg 9 period, where clubs have to release their players regardless, and that would mean losing your Argentinians or your Scottish players, or in previous years for Sale, your South Africans, which we're obviously no longer as reliant on. So I guess, Alex, with that being said, you know, from your perspective, this Sale team, we've had two losses on the bounce. We do need to bounce back. And to James's point, we should be expecting a team challenging for the top four to put this Gloucester B side away quite comfortably. But from your perspective, knowing that we're probably only going to lose you and Ashman, or potentially lose you and Ashman from the squad that played on Sunday against Saracens, are you making many changes to this team, or are there any changes that we can feasibly make at this point?
It's a good question, and I think the nine shirt has gone a bit back up in the air since Rafi came back in. And, you know, that's disrupted Gus Wall's sort of possession of it a bit. So I think there's a bit of a conversation there. But other than that, I think it largely picks itself. You know, we've obviously got players away with England who will remain away with England. And that stretches us in certain areas. But also, I think we've seen that, you know, this team is not necessarily picking itself, but there's fewer and fewer selection decisions to be made because the areas of big competition, they're starting to be picked off by those internationals. So, you know, the back row, Tom Curry goes away, okay. In the second row, Johnny Hill goes away with England. At prop, Bevan Rudd away with England. So it does come down to, and we were talking about that Sarri squad depth. Ours is good, but it's good enough to leave you with a pretty solid first team when the internationals are away. It isn't good enough to leave you with selection decisions when the internationals are away, I don't think. And that's the difference, that Sarri still have a selection headache going into a week like this with, you know, people out. So I think at that point, we sort of have to know where we are, but also know that that team is good enough and that team played well against Sarri's and didn't play well enough to win. But there's still a lot of talent and it's still the bones of the team that started the season so strongly. So I think, as you say, I don't think there's much change. I think at home on a proper pitch, you know, without the pressure and the kind of, it goes back to, you know, it takes it away from TV cameras, it takes it away from the expectation, it takes it away from the media attention. It's a Saturday afternoon kickoff, there's loads of other stuff going on, and we can go back to being under the radar sale. And I think that suits especially Gus Wall and Rob de Pria at 9 and 10, to have that pressure taken off them and not be in the face of that kind of, you know, we must put on a show here. We have to go out and beat Sarri's, and this is the way we beat Sarri's. Just settle back into that rhythm, play the way we've been playing. And what we were doing so well for the first 5 games of the season is we were playing our way and we weren't worrying about who we were playing. And I think at Quinn's, we got stressed into playing an expansive game, and at Sarri's, we got stressed into playing an upfront collision-based game. And both of that took away from the wider kind of what we've been doing so well, which is balancing that traditional forward power and defensive ability we have with a sort of accuracy in attack that meant we were cutting teams open actually with comparative ease to the way we've historically done it. Against Quinn's, we started throwing silly passes and silly offloads to try and force the issue because we weren't getting through. And against Sarri's, we just got sort of eaten up and beasted and lost that cutting edge. So if we go back to that really simple game plan, and I think it's easier against a Gloucester team that, as James rightly says, has all those players missing and has all those changes, that's fundamentally going to disrupt their rhythm. And I don't think our rhythm is going to be as disrupted. So that's where the opportunity lies in this game for me. And that's why I think you're right. I think it is the expectation to win on this one is massive because, you know, we just have to. But I think that comes from Sale fans. I don't think that comes from external fans. Other fans will be going, oh, this Gloucester team have had a good start and Sale have had a lost two on the bounce. So, you know, Gloucester could turn them over here. That's, you know, the popular opinion will be that way because a lot of people don't pay as close attention to Sale and rightly so as we do. So I think at that point, it hopefully takes a bit of pressure off and gets us back to that really simple game we were playing at the start of the season. So that's what I want to see. And I think that comes from the squad that we put out against Sarri's virtually. I think that is more than capable of doing that. It is just without that TV pressure, without that, you know, expectation from the wider media, hopefully they've got a better opportunity to play the Sale way rather than trying to combat the Quins or the Sarri's way.
So I think from my perspective, there's only kind of one other wrinkle to kind of mention here, which is, you know, great to see Sam Dugdale, you know, back playing for Sale on Sunday, coming off the bench. I'd be very interested to see, you know, if Ben Curry does have a knock, what happens at the 7 position, whether or not we go with the 2 Duprias and John O'Ross, or whether or not we give Dugdale a chance, you know, for a full run out. He's a player who has shown up very well when he has played over the last couple of seasons, and we know Sanderson is very keen to throw, you know, young players in. And I guess the one other wrinkle to maybe look out for as part of the team announcement is whether or not we finally see a little bit of Jason Woodward, a player who we've not seen at all this year. And actually, at this point of the season, and with the internationals away, we are starting to get to kind of the, I don't want to say the bottom of the squad, but kind of where we're exhausting all of our options. So we saw Byron McGuigan get his first appearance of the season on Sunday. And it'd be really be interesting to see whether or not, maybe given that our form has been a little bit shaky, whether or not Sanderson does make the decision to bring in a, you know, an experienced head who can cover a bit of 10, 12 and 15. And that's obviously another kicking option as well. We've not seen Woodward at all, but you do wonder whether or not, just with the way things are going at the moment, whether or not this is the first opportunity to really involve him in the match day 23. So with that all being said, let's do some predictions. So to James, obviously, you made a really compelling point about just how weakened the Gloucester team is going to be. How do you see Sunday going for Sale?
Well, that's interesting. I reckon it's going to be Simpson and Woodward both going to get hat-tricks and say to Gloucester, UK, you released us because we were deadwood in the squad and now you've not got depth and we're going to score three tries each. I think looking at the weather, it is going to be not brilliant rugby weather. I think that Gloucester will always find a way of scoring two pushover tries. So I reckon it's going to be Sale 29, Gloucester 15.
Okay. And Alex, what are you going?
I think that it is going to be slightly less exciting, but I'm hoping for the same results. So I'm going to say Sale 18, Gloucester 16. I think it's going to be a bit closer, but I'm hoping we get a, not necessarily a massive confidence-boosting win, but a confidence-boosting win nevertheless.
I'm going to make it a clean sweep for Sale wins, 21-10 to Sale. I think, as we've mentioned a few times now, the amount of players Gloucester are missing is going to make it very difficult for them to turn up and put in a winning performance, especially away from home at Sale. I don't think it's going to be a particularly exciting game. I think it's going to be back to that kind of forward-driven physicality up front to get us over the line. But I still think we'll get a couple of tries out of it, as is the way for Sale in the 22-23 season at the moment. So with that all being said, that's where we're going to wrap things up for this week. Massive thank you to Alex and James for joining me as per, especially James for managing to join us midway through. We appreciate it. It's always nice to see you again, mate. Thank you to all our listeners for continuing to support the podcast. We really appreciate it. And hopefully on next week's pod, we'll be back to talking about wins rather than defeats. It's a little bit out of character for us to have two negative pods in a row, but unfortunately, that's just what we've got to talk through at the moment. So thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to you guys for joining me. And we'll speak to you next week. Like I said, hopefully off the back of a return to winning ways, the Sale.